Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there and welcome to New Life Live. We're doing something that we rarely ever do, and it's a special program, and we're going to be talking about single parenting. And if you are one and you have a question, or maybe your kids are doing this and you don't think they're doing it very well, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Joining me in the studio is Dr. Jill Hubbard. Jill,
hello. Steve.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to be with you today. And certainly, we've both been single parents.
Yes, we have. And we mentioned this yesterday, but here we are with Stacy Sadler, who is the co-author of this wonderful, wonderful book on single parenting, Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. Stacy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Now, let me just tell folks a little bit about Stacy. Stacy is actually on the board of New Life. I certainly wanted her on the board because she's one of those rare people that if I am kind of confused about things or if I get my attitude wrong, she'll call and say, hey, what's that all about? So that's a good thing. She's also the presenter at Restore. One of the presenters, and just is doing a fantastic job on that. And, you know, when it comes to trauma therapy, she's one of those folks that's certified in that, even complex trauma therapy and dissociative disorders. And I'll tell you, she is one appreciated clinician here that works with New Life. And so, Stacy, so glad you're with us. And you certainly did most of the work here on this book. Tell us about the foundation for the book on single parenting. The foundation, or maybe a different angle that makes this book unique from other single parenting books.
Well, I think one of the biggest things that is important in single parenting is looking at yourself. I mean, this book could have been called Understanding and Loving Yourself as a Single Parent and Your Child. Because I think you have to know yourself, and I think you have to take care of yourself and do all the work that's necessary to deal with the trauma of what you've been through or the difficulty, whether it's through a divorce or a pregnancy that, you know, is not part of a marriage or death. That you still have got to deal with how it affects you as an individual, and that's the whole basis of the book.
Yeah, and just to start with this, it has to do with being single and dating also. A lot of people are a single parent, and they're hopefully through about 6 months to a year of doing nothing with another human being or opposite sex, and then, you know, being able to attract or have a relationship with healthy people. And so all of that begins, first of all, by resolving the things that perhaps led to a divorce or difficulty, and also getting yourself out of any kind of desperate situation. And I think one of the reasons that I've been in a blended family for over 17 years that works is because I didn't marry someone that was desperate. Well, that's me talking. Stacy, we're going to hear more from you right after this. 1-800-229-3000. Have a parenting question, a single parenting question. And we're going to talk with Stacy about some of the other things that are in this really special book, because you need to understand what your child is going through. And if you don't, you're really going to mess up even worse some of the stuff that might have gotten started from the divorce. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Jill Hubbard got a great book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, which very important to do if you haven't. Mm-hmm. Do that this afternoon or get her book and she'll help you do that. Stacy Sadler is with us, and Stacy co-authored the book with me, Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. Stacy, there are you write about some things that single parents beat themselves up over, these shoulds that they have in their head. Talk about that and what they need to do instead.
Well, you know, sometimes we set the bar really high for ourselves, and yeah, we think we ought to be able to do it alone. We think we ought to be able to do it better. We think we ought to be able to do it without community. And that's just to begin a few things that we believe. And so we tackle in the book how you have to have a community around you. New Life mm-hmm. is such big on community, and I don't know any single parent that can't do it without asking for some help.
Right.
And that's such an important thing, to be able to ask for help. Also, to be able to give yourself a break when you make a mistake, because we're going to make a mistake in parenting. There's so many pitfalls. It's a slippery slope. And so to be able to forgive yourself and move on is important. And to be able to understand that in the beginning, it may be tough. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think understanding your limitations is one of the biggest things that's important as you launch into single parenting and go the distance with single parenting.
Right.
Right.
Well,
and Stacy, as you mentioned before, the reasons for ending up a single parent aren't always by choice. And so you're working on your own work and grieving and processing along with your children. And so you
right.
do have to give yourself some grace, because everybody is struggling as you figure this out together.
Well, I know, Jill, when you became a single parent, mm-hmm. you're very well connected with friends and colleagues, and the amount of people that come to your house are evidence of that. You had community. And
with me,
I had these wonderful friends that created the Sunday night meeting called mm-hmm. Couples and Steve. And it was, you know, really important that
right.
I had those people and other communities, went to divorce care out at Saddleback, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Stacy, if somebody doesn't have that and they're all alone, what do you suggest that they do first to get out of that isolation?
Well, it's reach out for connection. Sometimes church is a good place to do it. You know, I was part of a single mom's class mm-hmm. at Sunday school, and I walked in there and said, "Hey, I don't belong here. I belong down the street in marriage class." And they were like, "Yeah, us too." Like, we didn't want news class. Mm-hmm. We didn't want that either, you know? And so church was a good place for me to connect with single moms, which was just a nurturing, loving place when it was still pretty raw and hard, even hard mm-hmm. to accept. The shame of the big D on my chest that I
yep.
didn't want was huge. And so that was a real soft place for me to land. And then once mm-hmm. I felt better in my singlehood, I was able to join a co-ed singles class. But that's in a big community, and I realize that a lot of listeners are in a small area and can't. So I would just say always open your mind to who you can connect with. And I think it's helpful to connect with single people. I also think it's helpful to connect to married people. But people who get what you're going through, it's big. And and online gives us an opportunity to meet with other people. I always tell people to go to meetup groups, to ask your children's parents, other parents, mutual mm-hmm. parents. Just have your mind open to connection. Hey, would you like to grab lunch? Or, hey, you want to talk some night about this or that? I think looking for any opportunity you can to connect with other people that are dealing with what you're dealing with is really important.
Well, yeah. And Stacy, you know, in the beginning for me, I didn't even know any single people, really. My whole world was married people, except Steve, maybe you at the time. And there weren't those classes perfectly labeled for me to go to. So I drew people around me, and I asked them to meet with me on a regular basis. And so I had like three females, but also their husbands as my parenting partners. And they literally, I said, okay, you guys are my collective husband and parenting partners. And so I often bounce, and still do to this day, bounce things off of them in terms of parenting. Yeah.
Well, another issue is the community for your child, because most likely they have been hurt, bruised, they're confused, insecure, and we need to bring healing community around them at every single point. So talk about that a little bit, Stacy. What can literally we do to bring about that healing?
Well, I think, you know, obviously getting help for yourself is important. I think I'm going to speak for just a minute to the grief and the things that we're feeling as a result of what we're going through as single parents. I think that it is okay for our children to know that we're hurting over it. I know a lot of clients and people are just like, oh, everything's fine. Well, what message does it send to your children when you're going through something tragic and horrible, but you're fine? So I think it's good to normalize grief and difficulty as you're going through it, but you don't want to lay all of it on your kids. So, like I said, you're at the top of the food chain. So it's like if mama or daddy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So you get help for yourself and then help your kids find that sort of community. So, you know, whether it's sports or, you know, whatever their interests are, what are the things that make them tick? Finding people that can speak into their lives. I know Steve worked really hard to find good female role models for his daughter to be able to speak into her life. And same with me, and I still do for my son, you know, because I'm not the same sex as him. What can, you know, who are men that can speak into his life?
Right.
Obviously, I was able to be there for my daughter, but you know, what is it that they need? Listening to their heartbeat and connecting them with as many resources as possible, because you're not enough.
Yeah. And, you know, this shame issue is so big, and if you're wearing it, your kids are going to get infected by it, and you must deal with that. And then they may even have some people talk to them about it, you know, or maybe be judgmental about their parents who got a divorce. And I remember a person that I had spent a lot of time with, his comment to another person was, well, anybody ought to be able to keep their marriage together. And okay, well, you know, that would be good if you knew everything that was going on with the other person, if the other person had been truthful, you know. So it's easy to be judgmental, but oftentimes the most judgmental people end up dealing with an adult child who goes through it. And then they come to understand not everybody has the choice to make things good or right, because the person they're married to has a different agenda. So all of that needs to be dealt with, and the only way I can see it being dealt with, you really do need a good counselor. I can't imagine what things would have been like if I hadn't gone to divorce care and gotten into some really healthy relationships and then therapy. And not all therapy works for everybody. You've got to find somebody that you're comfortable with. So let's talk about this horrible issue of the ex and co-parenting with the ex. That seems to be one of the most difficult things that single parents have to deal with. Talk about that a little bit, Stacy.
Well, in the book, I talk about how if it's possible to co-parent, of course, co-parenting is the best thing you can do. But so many times we're in relationship with someone that is addicted or someone that you can't reason with because of a personality disorder or character trait, yeah. what do you do with those difficult personalities where logic just doesn't hit? Well, there is no give and take. They don't do what they say they're going to do. There's a lack of integrity. And in those places, a lot of detachment is important. Being able to lean on others, not relying on that person. You know, I don't know how many times I hear clients say, you know, he didn't pick up his kids when he was supposed to. I can't depend on her to do her part about getting their school supplies ready. So it's like, again, it comes back to what I can control and what I can't control. Mm-hmm. And if I can't depend on that other person, I've got to do whatever I have to do to be at peace with me.
Right.
So when you can't co-parent, it's like, and there's shame in that. What's wrong with me that I can't co-parent? But it takes two people to co-parent mm-hmm. to say, you know, what are the best intentions for our children? If both parties can't do that, then we got to look in ourselves and say, how can I be the best person that I can be in this relationship, even if I can't co-parent with the other person?
All right. We are talking with, I'll just give me a second here, Jill, and I'll get right to you. We're talking with Stacy Sadler, and she is the co-author of the book. It's all about single parenting and how do we handle all the pitfalls and the difficulties of that. And when you give a gift of any amount to New Life, I'll send you a copy of Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent, because it's really difficult for a lot of single parents still in the pain over the divorce. It's difficult for them to be able to back away a little bit and start to understand what the child is going through, because you're mm-hmm. just trying to get through it and survive, and many times you just don't have it in you to reach for the kid. So it's Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. Stacy Sadler, myself, we created this book together, and Stacy did the heavy, heavy lifting on it. Jill, you were going to make a comment.
Well, right. So along, Stacy, with what you're saying, sometimes it's often antagonistic parenting as well. So you have to ask yourself, why am I expecting something from this other person in divorce that I couldn't count on them for in marriage?
Right.
And I know for me, I realized when I became a single parent after a while that I had always been a single parent, that it had always fallen on me. And so even though it wasn't fair, it wasn't about a competition or getting him to see. I really realized I had the greatest treasures out of it. I had the kids. Even if I had all of the burden, I had the kids. And so what did I need to do that was right by them, regardless of what the other person did or didn't do?
Yeah. And the drama triangle that mm-hmm. we had in the marriage, you need to step out of that when you are now co-parenting, but many times we just walk right back into mm-hmm. it blindly. Stacy, talk mm-hmm. about what you've learned in dealing with an uncooperative ex. What are some hints for somebody in that situation?
Well, I think detachment is the number one thing, you know, because like Jill was saying, those same antagonistic things are set up. So if I fall back into that trap again, I'm in trouble. If I can learn to detach and ask for what I need, and if I don't get it, go on ahead with plan B, doing the next best thing. And, you know, if I know for me, when there was a little bit of cooperation, I was like, yes, this is what I always wanted. This was great. Right. And I had to be careful about that because I knew that was a trap mm-hmm. for me, not to expect something different than what had been happening all those years. And I, like you, Jill, was a single parent most of my 23 years as well. Mm-hmm. And so, so why would I expect anything different? And I had to speak my truth. You know, I spoke my truth mm-hmm. to my kids age appropriately as I went through. You know, sorry, Dad and I aren't agreeing on this, but this is what I'm going to do here. And I was just honest about those things as mm-hmm. I went through. I didn't leave them in the dark.
Yeah. All right.
In regards to those things.
Well, if you have a comment or you want to talk to us, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. When we come back, we're going to talk about staying out of, rejecting, healing from this horrible address called victimhood. Because your kids need you to be more than a victim. And so we're going to talk about how we can not do that. And we'll talk more about the single person dating and how that it goes with the kids. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Jennifer, you hold on. We'll get to your call right after this. But Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, I heard, or you sent out a notice that was really great news, I think,
yeah,
for everybody
good news.
To hear. And what was that?
The match has been met.
Woo!
The match has been met. Thank you, everybody.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, really.
Thank you, the people who gave the seed money. Thank you for everybody for the last 2.5 months that have been meeting the match. And, you know, thank God. It's an amazing thing, and mm-hmm. to God be the glory to match a $706,000 challenge.
Wow.
Yeah.
It really was. Well, as of today, I mean, we have other needs because
yeah,
we're...
Yeah, don't stop giving, right?
I mean, you know,
yeah.
But we're really fortunate that we get to do some great things and hear about what God is doing through some of our efforts. And, you know, Stacy's involved in Restore, and I don't know of any conference that is more needed. I was just dealing with a couple yesterday with my wife, and the anger and the resentment really was just, it prevented anything good happening. And you sure couldn't blame the person for experiencing that and sharing that. But, you know, you need a place where it all comes together, makes sense, and you get support along with some new insight. And that's what Restore, and that's what Stacy and her team is all about. But what do you have for us here today, Larry?
Well, your topic today with Stacy and the book, and especially the workshop coming up, I just wanted to encourage folks to come to this workshop on Saturday. It's about parenting adult children, and it's not only for single parents or
right.
parents that are kids who have single parents. It's for anybody. We have adult kids, parents who call us about any and every situation you can mm-hmm. think of. And just a couple quick quotes. I read this at a previous program, but this I love this. Steve Arterburn just says it like it is. No sugarcoating the circumstances, requirements for action on the part of the parent or the child. 11 years ago, I had to show my son the door. I lost over 20 family relationships. No one has ever validated my actions until I heard Steve today. Mm. Now I have some work to do with my daughter. And then the last one was having the very first principle, the first presentation begin with "You're fired" was great and impactful. I need to know that from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, and what I say to that is if you could retire from being the parent of a child when they're grown adults, then you don't have to get fired. It's
yeah.
really a better move. Larry, we are talking to real people with problems, and one day that came to light when a mother approached me at a conference and said, 5 years ago, I called in, and your recommendation was to ask my son or force my son to leave. Now, you know, I had a big gulp, you know, because mm-hmm. what's coming next,
yeah.
you know, and it just drove home that these are real people, real problems that we deal with. She said, he is out of college, he has a job, he is doing well, and there's absolutely no way that would have happened if I had not done the toughest thing mm-hmm. I've ever done. So that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with, and a lot of times it's the exact opposite advice or direction that somebody would get from another source. But we've been doing this a long time, and I hope every time we deal with somebody, we're giving them some wisdom.
Steve, you have said a couple times recently, there are no more teachable moments when your child gets to be that adult age. But the thing that you need as a parent is you need that aha moment.
Yeah.
And that's what you'll get in these workshops. Mm-hmm. Oh, I never thought of that. Or, oh, that really works. It's going to be painful, but we can do it. So,
The teachable moment prevents the reachable moment where you have a connection after all these years and rebellion and all of that. And that's what we're going for. Teachable moments happen when a child is 8 and when a child is 12 and things like that. But not... You don't look for the teachable moment with a 32-year-old. That's probably not going to go very well. Well, Larry, thank you. If anybody wants to be part of what we're doing, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll send you Gift of Any Amount, Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. Let's go to Jennifer, calling from Louisville, Kentucky, and she listens on Pure Radio, P-U-R-E. Hi there. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help?
Well, I'm a single mom. I have 3 children by 2 marriages. The first 2 I have full custody of. But the one that I'm really struggling, I struggle with all, don't get me wrong, but the one that's really pressing and that reason for my call today, I have a 9-year-old daughter that I share 50-50 custody with her dad. And... yeah, and since COVID, well, let me back up a minute. He had a heart transplant back in 2016.
Okay.
And given that COVID has come about, he's like and I respect, you know, that he's got the phobia. It's not if, it's when I'm going to get it. And so he doesn't let me see my daughter. I haven't got to hold her, kiss her, touch her, but maybe 10 days in 3 years.
Oh, my God.
And
goodness.
I don't know how to...
Are
spoon.
You kidding?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
All right.
10 days, 3 years.
We'll help you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Stacy Sadler, our special guest, she's the co-author of Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. And we'll give Jennifer some great direction here in a minute.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with our special guest, Stacy Sadler, co-author of Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. Dr. Jill Hubbard is here. We're talking with Jennifer. And Jennifer, just tell us what you have done in the past 3 years so that he doesn't do what he's doing, which is withhold your daughter from you. What have you done?
Well, I mean, I've just tried to be supportive to her. You know, I focus on my daughter. You know, I've gone through a challenging time like everyone, and, you know, I've visited with her through I guess there's like a glass door, you know, and she'll be on one side of the door. I'll be on the other side of the door, and we'll visit that way for hours. We do FaceTime. You know, I talk to her. You know, we do prayers at night. We FaceTime for hours. You know, it's just, and she's got two siblings, you know, so it's just put a really big strain, and it's put a huge strain on our family. I haven't pursued, well, I take that back. I attempted to pursue something legally, but was basically told that this just sounded like a, the words of the county attorney at that time was, it sounds like this is like a Jerry Springer type of thing, because it was just horrible. And I really feel like it's just a big control thing on the dad's part. So
okay, well,
I'm really
let
at
us,
a loss. I don't know.
Okay. Let's go to you. We'll go to Stacy first and hear what she's thinking and what she wants to ask about. Stacy?
So, is this because of COVID that he's only allowing you to not touch her through glass windows and doors? Is that what you're saying?
I believe so, yeah. That's what he says. Yeah. I mean, I got to hug her for her birthday this year, but or last year, I should say, but I had a gown, glove, mask, you know, wow. And she had a full-grade military gas mask on.
So when you have her on your own, in your own home, do you feel like you have to abide by those guidelines?
No. I mean, when she's in my home, she's in my home. I mean, we've gone to church together. You know, I treat her just as anyone else. I mean, if she wants to wear her mask, she wears her mask. If, you know, I don't... We're in our own home. I don't, you know what I mean? It's just, it's really tricky.
And you said that she's only been with you 10 days in 3 years? Is that
so
right?
So since she was 6 years old?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And is she going to public school or what?
She does attend public school. However, it's the online. It's all through the county. She does everything online.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't
okay.
leave her house unless it's to go to the grocery or something. That's about it.
Okay.
So, Jennifer, this is really concerning because I understand he has a health condition, but he's really weaponizing COVID to be very controlling and to set a precedence of her being with him full time.
Yes.
Whatever attorney you talk to, I think you need to talk to someone else, because if you have a custody agreement where it's 50-50, that document, that is what you stand on, right?
Yeah.
And you can go back to court or to, you know, a better attorney, and he has to abide by that.
Yeah.
So while there are no... unfortunately, divorce police on a lot of the little things. This is a big thing, and you have whatever you have in writing that's specific, and that is specific.
Yes.
Now, here's what I want you to help us understand. Okay, you've not done anything, and it sounds like it's based on just one conversation. With what you did, you say the district attorney was who you talked to, or who did you talk to?
I spoke with. I think it was a district attorney or county attorney that I spoke with at that time.
Okay.
I was looking.
Help us understand
and I
why
spoke with another attorney. As well.
Okay, help us understand why this would be okay with you.
Well, it's not, you know, and I've really
okay, but it is, or you would have just done everything you could to get her to be with you, certainly more than him. Another way to solve this dilemma, see, is for you to have her all the time, and he has some privileges. And
right, based on his comfort level.
And see, that just seems so obvious to me. It doesn't have to be you not having her to protect him. Mm-hmm. It really could be you have her most of the time. So is there something that we're not aware of that has prevented you from seeking full custody of her until COVID is over? Or any alternative, like just help us understand... What is the situation here that would prevent any kind of action?
Well, a lot of it is fear. You know, it is a very abusive
relationship.
What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What's the worst thing?
I'm afraid of hurting my daughter. I'm afraid of hurting my daughter. She's been with, she's been with her dad, and he's, you know, you talked about, you know, weaponizing COVID. I feel like he's using our daughter, you know, as a weapon to get back with me, and, you know, or not to get back with me, but to get back at me.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's all just, and it's, and I don't want her to suffer because, I don't know, obviously no one knows, you know, how long we're going to be on this earth, but he was given a second chance with a heart transplant. Well, and I understand that, you know, what her
but
dad
here's the
her,
thing.
In her life.
Go ahead, Jill.
But what you've just told us about him, how could that be a better place for her?
Right.
And these are formative years, and this is when kids really need their moms.
Yeah.
Not that they don't need a dad. But it sounds like you are so much not wanting to deprive him that you are depriving you and her.
Yeah. And it's right, and it's even, hurting her. Go ahead, Stacey.
Yeah. Even in a, like you said, it was an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. And what happens sometimes is we stop trusting ourselves and what we know is right when we're in an abusive situation. And I'm wondering if, Steve, you talked about, we were going to talk about victimhood. That's where we say, you know, I can't, it's not my fault, there's nothing I can do. And all of that is really fear-based. And that's what you admitted, Jennifer, is like, this is all fear that's happening here. And so the switch is to move into an empowered place about saying, I do trust that me, my child being with mama and hugging on mama is an important, important piece of attachment. And I know that's true. And thinking like, what do I want for my life with my daughter and how do I make that happen? So moving out of that frozen fear place and moving into trusting that you do know what's right for her.
Right. And yes, it would be an adjustment after living with her father to live with you. But she can get through that adjustment time. And what a great thing for her to hear after you gave him a chance to make things right and open up. He didn't. And so that's when you went into action, got an attorney to cause either him to live up to 50-50. But I think this is so abusive of the child. That you ought to make the case that you need the child full time.
Right.
I'll send you a copy of this book, Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. And I'm going to ask everybody to pray that you will do it afraid. That is what we're called to do. Do it afraid. Even though you're afraid, do it anyway. Let's go to Linda calling from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Linda, WBYN. Hi there.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Okay. I just have a comment because I've been a single parent for 33 years.
Yes.
We had four children, four birth children. And after my youngest daughter was 6 years old, we got divorced. And my husband said not to ask for child support or spousal support because he wasn't going to give it. And so I went to the Lord, and I said, what should I do, Lord? Because my parents wanted me to go to court and get it, and I didn't know what to do because I wanted the Lord to tell me. And he said, I am your provider. I heard it as clear as anything. So from the time my oldest child, our oldest child is 50 now, and a wonderful father, and I made sure that my children had mentors. We had three girls and one boy. And then later, as a single parent, I even adopted a son from foster care. And I have to give God the glory because every single thing we ever needed, he supplied, including a home. And I never made a lot of money, but the
Lord
is good.
We're going to address that right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
back. We're with Stacy Sadler, Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. Now, Linda, you said that the Lord said He'd provide. And are you saying that no one should get an attorney? Or are you saying that in your particular case, that's what God uniquely did with you? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Just that is exactly it. He lived at home for the last 3 years before our divorce without working. And I decided that I would, and my children never ever heard me say one bad thing about their dad, because, and even afterwards, when we were divorced, I told him he could come and see the children anytime that he wanted, but he never came.
Okay.
And the thing is that I was not going to put my children through a fight, and I wanted them to still, if they wanted to be connected to their dad, that they could.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm glad that you called, and I'm glad that you clarified, because my belief is that a lot of people have a hard time discerning between my voice and God's voice. You know, it's just not,
or the voice of fear, right? Sometimes we hide behind, okay, I'll just wait for God to do it all, because we're afraid. And so it's both. God does meet us where we're at. I've experienced that. But at the same time, we have to take the steps and not be afraid, or do it, like you guys said, in the face of fear.
Yeah.
When it's the right thing to do.
That's right. I think it's a combination of my happiest subject to talk about in single parenting is God's provision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that God takes kindly to people that have been abused in a marriage. And I watch week after week, month after month, year after year, as God provides for single parents. And it is the biggest demonstration of God and who He is. For me, it was finding a wad of cash on the ground that was exactly the amount of money that I was going to buy a new iPhone with, but felt like I shouldn't, because, you know, I had so much. Other people were helping me. The church was helping me. It was such a charity case. And that was God saying from the sky, hey, I see you, Stacy. You're important to me. And this is what we need to do. But I also asked for help.
Yes.
I also took his rear end to court, because he owed that to me.
But it was a
marriage between the two. I asked for help. I held him responsible for his part in creating those children and providing for our children, because I think that's healthy responsibility that we ask somebody to do. But also, where those gaps were there and there were things that I couldn't control, that's when I trusted God for the provision.
All right.
I hope you took more than just his rear end to court, because the head needed to go also. Let's go to Sarah, Seattle, Washington, watches on YouTube. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
Doing okay. How could we help?
Well, you know, my situation is one that I had a very hard marriage. My husband didn't work throughout our marriage, and he was abusive. He also cheated. So what I ended up doing was I did separate and get a divorce. But now fast forward 6 years later, by the way, during that time I got a divorce and was separated, you know, we went through some hard times. I ended up homeless. I didn't have a place to go. So it was really just a really heartbreaking situation. But now, you know, I have a decent job. I'm where I need to be spiritually and emotionally. But it's still, the struggle for me is still with finances.
Yeah.
You know, I have two kids, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. And I kept promising them, oh, I'm going to get you a house. I'm going to provide for you. But, you know, I find myself, I'm in an apartment now. You know, I'm in a one-bedroom apartment with two kids and two cats.
Okay. What's the question for us? Because we're just about out of time.
Yes. How do I explain to my kids that I can't afford the things that I want to get them? I want to get them a house, but it might even be as simple as I want to take them out to eat, and I still can't find myself affording that. So how do I explain that to them when I can't do that?
Stacy, what do you think's the best route here? And by the way, divorce causes poverty, especially for women raising kids. It's just more common than anything. Mm-hmm. But what would you say to her, Stacy?
Now, I think that there's a great opportunity here, Sarah, to develop a work ethic in your children. I think this is the greatest thing that we can do to guard against a sense of entitlement, mm-hmm. is to say no. And I had to say to my kids, sorry, Mom mm-hmm. can't do that, which, and I know your kids are only 10 and 12, but, you know, there's ways that they can start earning money as they get a little bit older and a little bit older. And so I would say just be honest with them about that. I wouldn't make promises that I couldn't keep. And I would get really mm-hmm. creative about fun ways to do things. Like, I was the queen of frugal, finding, you know, kids mm-hmm. eat free here and all those kinds of things. I would say just get as creative as you can. And I think grieve your limitations. You know, grieve the fact that you can't give them what they want.
And here's the thing. You go from focusing, they may want to focus on what they can't do, but you become, but here's what we can do kind of mom. And you're in the Seattle area, one of my favorite areas, and there's so many things that are available that don't mm-hmm. cost anything. You know, the universities there, they teach, the people they're training, they want kids to be the guinea pig kind of thing, and lessons and art and other things. So you become the here's what we can do mom, and share with them how grateful you are that God has taken you from homelessness to here is this
right.
apartment.
You have given them a home. It may not be the house you envisioned, but it's a home. And so you make it a home. And, you know, maybe doing something where you all kind of save your pennies up for something fun that you want to do. You do you know, let the kids help with recycling or something, and then you put your pennies in the jar. And it's when you reach a goal, then it's like, okay, we get to do this. Don't act like you're deprived, and then your kids won't feel that either.
Stacy, a final word from you here.
Well, I just think grieving her own situation.
Yeah.
You know, she wants something so different, and I hear that. And so often we run away from grief. I think you just got to mm-hmm. sit with it for a while and pray about it, journal about it, and talk to someone about the fact that you wish it could be different, and then jump into doing some of those creative things that we were just talking about.
Yeah. Well, I hope that something we've said here is beneficial to everyone. I would encourage you, if you have a single friend, single parenting friend, that you ask them to click on newlife.com and listen to the program, or go to the app and listen to this program. Maybe it will help them. I do know this. There are fatal excuses that trip us up, that prevent us from moving forward. And the best thing you can do for your kids is overcome those fatal excuses that prevent you from acting in their best interest. If you want a copy of this book, it's a good one. It's about single parenting. We have one about being the parent to a bonus child when it's blended. But the way good blending happens is that you are a great single parent, not desperate. It's understanding and loving your child as a single parent. And Stacy, I'm so grateful that you're part of New Life and that you've written such a powerful book from your own experience and what you've learned as a clinician. It's important for people to do their best to help the children. I mean, that really is what it's all about. And people that stay together just for the kids, that's better than not staying together. But once you do, you can go beyond that. And if you need help finding that path, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.